Week. We're studying this letter addressed to the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2, but tonight we're going to begin where we left off in Romans chapter 9. So you might want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Jesus told the church at Smyrna, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Okay, so Jesus said that there were those in the local church claiming to be and living as though they were Jews, and they were not. They were being used by Satan to harm and to hinder and to pervert that local church at Smyrna. And today, local churches that demand strict obedience to the Old Testament laws and their ceremonies, those churches are in effect saying that they are Jews when they are not. Churches that promise people peace and prosperity and blessings of God as reward for doing good works and living holy lives, they're misapplying the kingdom promises that God gave to the Jews and trying to place it upon the church. And we went down the list last time. I showed you specific churches and their doctrines and practices that make them guilty of the blasphemy which Jesus is talking about here. In Romans chapter 9, we read a passage, just read it and then ended it there. But that was a passage where the Apostle Paul listed some very specific things which pertain to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And so tonight we're going to read that again, and then we'll inspect each one of those things that Paul talked about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse number 3. Paul says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Okay, so who's Paul talking about? According to the flesh, his natural birth, his kinfolk. Obviously, that's Israelites, and that verse 4 says just as much. Who are Israelites? Okay, Hebrew people, the Jews, descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, got to have all three. To whom pertaineth the adoption? Okay, do you know who the adoption pertains to? It's the Israelites. To whom pertaineth the glory? Okay, you know who that belongs to? That belongs to the Israelites. To whom pertaineth the covenants? Do you know who the covenants belong to? The Israelites. To whom pertaineth the giving of the law? Okay, if you've got a Gentile mother or a Gentile father, the law does not have anything to do with you now that you're saved. It never had anything to do with you. The law pertained to the Israelites after the flesh. To whom pertaineth, the next thing is the service of God. Okay? Speaking of that priesthood, okay? Serving, they performed the service of God. And can you imagine seeing a Gentile going up to that altar and offering a sacrifice? God would kill that person right there on the spot. He couldn't do it. And then to whom pertaineth the promises? Verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. All right, now the failure to understand those three verses has led to all of those false doctrines that we talked about last time. So let's look at these. Let's break these down one by one. First of all, the adoption. Okay, turn to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. That's the law. Deuteronomy is a book of the law. chapter 14. And then it'll be easy enough after that to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 14 and Deuteronomy 7. To whom pertaineth the adoption? Are the Anglo-Saxon people God's adopted, chosen nation? Is America the true Israel of God? Some people would say, oh yes, you can prove it because USA is found right in the middle of Jerusalem. Well, if that's your method of interpretation, I guess you can make the Bible teach anything you want it to. People just don't think. Deuteronomy 14, verse number 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Okay, now can you see how somebody would read that and then read 1 Peter 2:9, where Paul tells Christians, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and then jump to the conclusion that the church was a continuation of Israel. But Israel was the chosen nation, was the peculiar people under the law. Okay, but now there's a new thing come that was not a nation. To whom pertaineth the adoption? It's to the nation of Israel. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse number 6, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, there's the adoption. Okay, to whom does the adoption pertain? To the nation of Israel. Okay, all right, what about the glory? To whom pertaineth the glory? Save your place in Deuteronomy, we'll be back there. But turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. The glory pertains to the nation of Israel. In America, you've got preachers such as James Kennedy and Don Wildman, among others, who are working to save America. And every one of them with such a goal, every one of them, you'll find out they belong to a mainline Protestant church that believes that the church and the kingdom are the same. And they believe that it's the duty of the church to establish the righteous kingdom on earth. And every one of them believes that. So what do? They're spending millions and billions of dollars of God's money to get lost people to quit having abortions so that they can die and go to hell. But at least they didn't have an abortion. Or to get lost people to quit looking at dirty magazines so they can die and go to hell having read a nice magazine like Reader's Digest instead of a porno book. and to get lost people and unsaved people, you know, clean programs to watch on TV so they can die and go to hell watching righteous programming instead of unrighteous programming. Not one of those men is involved in preaching the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And if you put right-wing conservatives in the highest government positions and pass these pro-family legislations You'll still die in your sins and go to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. That's what's important. Somebody's trying to bring in the kingdom instead of preaching the gospel. And they're not the same. There's too many preachers today who have quit preaching the gospel because they got sidetracked into politics. They used to fight the devil, now they're fighting legislation. They used to fight sin, now they're fighting the other political party. They used to try and see lost people get saved, now they're trying to see lost people get registered to vote. Somebody sidetracked us by slipping into the church with a Jewish agenda and getting us busy with the wrong program. All right. Now let me show you who the glory belongs to. Matthew 16, verse number 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. You know what Jesus Christ is going to do? He's going to come and set up his earthly kingdom. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? He said when he comes, he's coming in the glory. You know who that glory belongs to? That setting up of the kingdom on earth, it belongs to the Jews. Look in Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know what the glory is? It is the throne at Jerusalem with Jesus Christ in it, in a kingdom on earth. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. You know what his glory is? It's his earthly kingdom as he reigns at Jerusalem. You know what our hope is? Rapture and being caught up to heaven. But do you know what? Jews have crept in. And a good saved man misled by a Jew will stand at a Baptist altar on a Sunday morning with an offering plate in his hand and say, God, we thank thee that we can be here in this on this beautiful Sabbath morning. That's not the Sabbath morning. And God, we pray that you'd bless these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of thy kingdom. We're not furthering his kingdom. We meet on the Lord's Day to further the gospel. That's the words used in Philippians 1:12, the furtherance of the gospel. Now, do you know where he got that from? He got it from a Jew that crept in and told him that Sunday was a continuation of the Jewish Sabbath and that the church was the continuation of the Jewish kingdom. You say, well, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Once you start talking about that Sabbath stuff and that kingdom stuff, somebody's going to come to on your radio or your TV and tell you, this is how you bring in the kingdom. And once you start getting wrapped up in that bringing in the kingdom stuff, you can't bring a kingdom in with the Bible. You're going to have to get you some automatic weapons. It's going to take war. Because lost men don't listen to reason or to the Holy Spirit. So all these extreme right-wing groups, they meet, they open with prayer, they recite the Lord's Prayer, they have a chaplain and a Bible reading, And then they go out and practice throwing hand grenades. Why? Because for Jesus Christ, they're going to rid the earth of unrighteousness and they're going to set up the kingdom. No, they're not. Martin Luther, he got that Reformation going in Germany. And the peasants got a hold of the Bible. They started reading the Bible and they didn't understand it. And they came to Martin Luther and said, "Lead us in a peasants' revolt. Let's overthrow this German government. Let's set up God's kingdom on earth." Luther said, "Man, you guys are all messed up. How'd you get so mixed up?" And so they cut Martin Luther off instead of listening to him. And the Reformation was started by Luther. But they got rid of Luther early on and they latched on to John Calvin. Because John Calvin said, "Let's fight the Pope and let's set up our own kingdom instead of the Pope's kingdom." And it wasn't 100 years after that Reformation was over, that they were starting to kill each other over there. And World War I was a continuation of it. World War II was a continuation of it. And the next World War will be a continuation of it. And all that stuff is religious people killing each other with the blessings of their priests, trying to bring in the right kingdom for Jesus. All right, the next thing on that list in Romans was the covenants. The covenants belong to Israel. Let's get that in Genesis 17 and then 2 Samuel 23. Genesis chapter 17. The kingdom is not the church, and the church is not the kingdom. Genesis 17, and 2 Samuel 23. And Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. And a Jew is not a saved man, a Gentile is not a saved man. A saved man is a saved man. We got to get that. You know what they're teaching kids in Sunday school? A lot of places. That because the Jews are God's chosen people, all Jews will automatically go to heaven. They actually teach that. I mean, how can God send his chosen people to hell? They're his elect, right? Elect for what? Well, let's see what the covenants are. Genesis 17, verse number 2. "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." Verse 7. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Verse number 19. "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Okay, go to Genesis chapter 12. What is the covenant that God established with Abraham and with his seed, Isaac, after him? Genesis 12, verse number 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Okay. Now, does that sound like anybody going to heaven to you? Does that sound like anybody being born again to you? Do you know what God promised Abraham? Land. that he and his descendants would be blessed on a piece of land on the earth. You know what piece of property on earth God gave to the church? None. You know what promises for material possessions and prosperity God gave to his people on earth? Or to his church on earth? None. So who's this guy coming on TV and reading out of Deuteronomy and telling people, if you love God, he'll heal you of all your diseases. And if you love God, he'll cause you to prosper. And if you love God, he'll multiply your cattle and your camels and your flocks and your herds. Where did he get that stuff? Trying to steal a covenant that does not belong to him. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 23. God gave David a promise that one of his sons would sit forever on a throne at Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll hear just what I say and not what you think I said. A saved man will not sit on the throne at Jerusalem. Ever. There has never been a born-again New Testament Christian sit on a throne at Jerusalem. And there never will be. David's son after the flesh is going to sit on that throne. And David's son that will sit on that throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not a saved Christian. He's the King of the Jews. You ought to read about those crusades sometimes. Here in Kuwait, you say that word crusades and you might get hurt. It's a bad word in this part of the world. I mean, what a mess that was. Pope Urban II said, let's go down there and kill all the Jews and all the Turks and let's take the Holy Land. And then you can put me on the throne at Jerusalem. And so for the next 200 years, they just did everything in God's name that they could possibly do to make the name of Christians stink in the nostrils of the rest of the world. And they did. And you know what all that was about? Somebody sitting in Rome didn't know enough about the Bible to know the difference between the kingdom and the throne that God promised David and a new city in heaven that God prepared for his church. You know what those crusades were all about? Do you know why millions of people died during those crusades in the name of God? Because somebody thought they were a Jew and they weren't a Jew. That's what that whole thing was about. All right, the next one on Paul's list in Romans 9 was the giving of the law. Who did that pertain to? Deuteronomy chapter 4. I told you we'd be back there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I know this stuff we're going through is a little bit tedious. Yeah, hopefully not too boring for you, but honestly, if you could get every preacher straight on the difference between the law and the epistles, man, you might see some revivals popping up here and there in some places. Deuteronomy 4, you say, well, I just think you got to keep the law. All right, let's see. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 5. Behold, I have taught you the statutes and the judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? So you know what he said? He said, we're here and we've got wisdom and we've got righteousness because we've got this law. And all those other nations, all they can do is just look. You know why? Because they don't have it. You go back in your Bible, you get Exodus 19. There, Moses goes up on the mountain. He stays up there till he comes down. Don't get those Ten Commandments and then leave. Stays up there till he gets all the law on the tables of stone. All the way up to Exodus chapter 31. And when he comes back down, he comes with a law that God gave to govern one nation on the face of the earth, in one piece of territory on the face of the earth. And nobody else was ever duty bound to keep one word of that law. And if you don't understand that, you'll end up thinking that you'll lose your salvation if you don't keep the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we got to keep God's law or we won't get the kingdom. I'm not trying to get the kingdom. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm going to heaven. You can stick around and fight the mark of the beast trying to get that kingdom if you want to. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why stick around waiting for an earthly kingdom when you can get caught up to meet the Lord in the air and enter into the very presence of God himself in the third heaven? But people, they just won't get that distinction. All right, what about the service of God? Who does the service of God pertain to? I told you about the law, and that law contained that priesthood, contained the tabernacle, contained the offerings. Look again in Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, the service of God. That belonged entirely to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 21, verse number 5. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. Nobody else. Now we saw the giving of the law. Through that law, the nation of Israel was nigh unto God. We see in this chapter, through the priesthood, the nation of Israel can come nigh unto God. Okay? Now do you see how that sheds light upon Ephesians 2? Ye that were afar off. Okay, because you had no law, because you had no covenants, because you had no priesthood, because you could not serve God, ye that were afar off are now made nigh, not because you got in on the law, not because you got in on the priesthood, but because Jesus Christ saved you and made you his own. That's what made you nigh. The law and the priesthood made the Jews nigh. Okay? And then the next one is the promises. And I'm not going to run through this whole thing on the promises, but if you read Hebrews chapter 11, that's the roll call of faith, okay? Hebrews 11, you will not find any Gentiles in that roll call of faith. And in that chapter it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. The promises were for Moses and Abraham and Elijah and Daniel and that one race and nation of people. Okay, they had all the promises, all the goodies. Aren't you glad that Hebrews 11 ended with God having provided some better thing for us? Not the same thing, some better thing for us. And then verse 5 in Romans 9 said, The fathers pertained to the Jews. Now, why in the world do we talk about the church fathers? Right, you've heard that term. Why do we talk about church fathers when the church doesn't have any fathers? Why in the world do we go to a church and say, oh, we're so blessed to have these nice fathers here? When as far as anybody knows, those so-called fathers, they don't have any kids. Kind of weird, isn't it? You know why the nation of Israel had fathers? Because they can trace their line back to Abraham, 1, Isaac, 2, Jacob, 3. And those three fathers are given to establish the covenant rights and the land rights so that you don't think that it's Abraham Ishmael or Abraham and one of his other sons that he had later on. It's not Father Abraham, it's the fathers. You've got to come through Abraham and through Isaac and through Jacob, or you're not a Jew. So they have the Jews, they have the fathers. Why does not the church have fathers? Because you've got one birth to get you into the body of Christ. Almighty God grants you a new birth, and you don't have fathers, you have one father. There is no line of succession that makes you a Christian. There is no right of inheritance that makes you a Christian. You are born of God or else you're lost and on your way to hell. You say, well, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist. My grandfather was a Methodist, or not a Baptist. You say, I'm a Baptist, but you can't get saved through a Baptist line. You can't get saved just because your father was a Baptist, your grandfather was a Baptist preacher or anything like that. Oh, are you saved? Well, my father's been a Methodist preacher. I mean, my great-grandfather, he was a Methodist preacher. I'm from 6 generations of Methodists. Yeah, but you don't get in through a line. Sir, are you saved? Well, I went down to the church this morning and the fathers gave us the holy sacraments. You can't get salvation from those fathers. Somebody's trying to convince you that you inherit eternal life by natural birth. There is no line of succession. I'll finish up right here. John chapter 1 and then Philippians chapter 3. We don't have fathers in that religious sense. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ, the Everlasting Father. That's Isaiah 9, verse 6. That's your memory verse for next week. Pilate said, would you have me release unto you Jesus? And they said, no, we want Barabbas. We cry Abba, right? In the New Testament, we cry Abba. You know what that is? Abba, yeah. The Bible interprets the words for you. Abba, Father. Simon, Bar, Jonah. What's that? You don't need a concordance to look that up or to know what that means. Simon, son of Jonas. Bar means son of. Abba means father. They didn't want Jesus Christ, the son of the Father. Okay? They wanted Bar, son of Abbas. Okay? the son of the fathers. Okay, that's who they wanted. And to this day, men reject Jesus Christ and they cling to their fathers. So you better watch out for those church traditions. There's people all around the world going to a dead church with no Bible and no Holy Spirit, you know, but they stay there because, you know, granny's buried out back. And so they don't dare leave that church. Grandpa, he laid the cornerstone of this church. We sure wouldn't, we'd hate to leave this old building, even though it's dead. And there's nothing that carries over from one generation to the next. The faith of your grandfather has nothing to do with your faith. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Okay? It's power, by the way, not the right. Okay? The new Bibles replace power with right. But you don't have the right to be the Son of God. You'll never have the right to be the Son of God. Those new Bibles are incorrect. Okay? To them gave he power. It takes the power of God to do this action. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Okay, you don't get the new birth from your dad. You don't get the new birth from your grandpa. You don't get the new birth because you belong to a line of Christian people. They say Armenia, that's a Christian nation. And Switzerland, that's a Christian nation. And England, that's a Christian nation. And Algeria, that's a Muslim nation. And Libya, that's a Muslim nation. You're not a Christian because you were born in a country that is predominantly of one certain religion. You have got to be born again. You've got to be born of God. And then Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision of the Jews. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Okay, so Paul said, look, I had a fleshly birth as a Jew. I am of the circumcision, but I don't worship according to the circumcision. I worship according to the Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, okay, what's that? What things are you talking about? The law. His Hebrew nationality, those things that used to be a gain to him, he says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now here's the right response to what you heard tonight. It is not to get mad and say, I'm just being narrow-minded and bigoted. That's not the right response. The Apostle Paul said, here I am, I'm in the barn. The barn is full of manure. Okay? He used the word dung, We'll use manure. He says, I don't need all this manure in the barn. All it does is mess up the barn. I think I'll get my wheelbarrow and a shovel and get this dung out of here. And that's what he did. When the Apostle Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know something? If I try to live by the law, it's not going to help me. It's just going to mess up the barn. If I try to hold on to these rules and regulations, it's not going to help me. It's just going to mess up the barn. I think I'll just get my shovel, I'll get my wheelbarrow, and I'll get all this law business, all this Jewish ritual, all this Israelite kingdom business, and get it all out of the way so that I can glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you hang on to a Sabbath day just because grandma went to church there? Why would you hang on to a false idea about the kingdom just because your favorite preacher preaches it? Why would you reject the truth of the New Testament epistles just because it goes against the grain of the man that you've been sending money to for years? If you find out it's just stinking up the barn, get it out of your barn. Paul said those were good things in their time, but I came to know Jesus Christ, and now I don't need those things anymore. They're a hindrance. I got to get rid of it. I'm not sure how you're taking this. I don't know if you're getting mad or if you're bored or confused, but we're almost done. God gave the law to the nation of Israel to govern their living in the land of Palestine, that Canaan land, for when Jesus Christ establishes them there in a kingdom age. God gave the epistles to the New Testament church that they might live a life that is pleasing in the sight of the one who saved them and gave them a sure home in heaven. And the two of those things will never, never meet. Those two will never meet. Okay? And when somebody comes to your church house that tries to make the law of Israel and the epistles to the church form into one unit, you better watch that fella. You better watch that woman. Sometimes it's a woman. You better watch that movement. That is Satan slipping in to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's a lot of false Jews running around these days. I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm through. We do not hate and despise people that don't know any better. And most of your friends don't. How would they? They heard get saved Sunday morning. They heard attend Sunday night. They heard tithe Wednesday night. They heard get saved Sunday morning. They heard attend Sunday night. They heard tithe Wednesday night over and over again. And that's all they heard for 25 years. And then somebody comes on the TV or somebody comes on the radio or somebody comes and knocks on their door and says, wouldn't you like to learn and study the Bible? Well, of course they would. They've been dying to for years. The problem is not in the pew. The problem is in the pulpit. That's the problem. And I don't know any cure for it except to just keep hammering away at this stuff. I don't know any way to drive out the darkness but to just try and turn on some of the light that God's given us to shine. It's all I know how to do. And as those cockroaches scurry away into the dark corners, they just have to scurry away. That's the way it goes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the lesson tonight and last week. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to be aware when somebody tries to creep into our church bringing these Jewish doctrines that don't fit into the church age. Help us, Lord, to just remember that you did it all on the cross of Calvary, and there's nothing we can add to that. You're not expecting us to do anything to secure our place in heaven. You've already done that for us, and we pray, Lord, that we'll never forget that. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that has any doubts about that, that's not sure that they're going to have a place in heaven, I pray that you'll be working on their heart and you'll be speaking to them and shedding some light from your holy scriptures, that they might know that you are the Savior of all men. All that needs to be done is to place all their faith and trust and hope in you, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.